Well, in reference to our first reading today, one of our school children told me a great joke this morning. Do you know at what time of the day Adam was first created? It was just a little bit before the eve. Get it? It's a terrible joke. It's so good, it's so bad that it's good, but anyway, today we celebrate the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which, you know, it's always kind of confusing because we read this gospel, which is the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb, but that is not what we are celebrating today, right? We are celebrating the conception of Mary in St. Anne's womb, and that from the moment of her conception, she was kept free from the stain of original sin, and she lived the rest of her life without sin. So it was on December 8th, 1854, after consulting all the bishops of the world, that blessed Pope Pius IX proclaimed the Immaculate Conception to be a dogma of the Church, meaning not just something that we kind of generally believe, but something that is part of the deposit of faith that we must believe as part of the divine faith of the Church, as part of the deposit of faith in order to really hold to the truths of salvation. Now, the significance of that was kind of brought home to me in a new way this year because, you know, we did all this stuff for the 500th commemoration of the Protestant Reformation with the Lutherans this year. And we had that theological panel, which was a lot of fun, really. But as we were preparing for that, you know, I asked the Lutheran pastors, you know, why don't you believe in the Immaculate Conception? You know, what objection do you have to that? And I was interested in their response because they said, well, there's nothing in principle that the Lutheran Church holds against the idea of the Immaculate Conception. As a Lutheran, as an individual Lutheran, you could profess that Mary was immaculately conceived and you wouldn't be like a Lutheran heretic or anything, right? But that this is, because of course the Bible is their sole authority and this is not explicitly laid out in the Bible, their ultimate response was, well, we just don't see the point in making it a dogma, right? It's something that everyone must believe. Sure, if you want to believe that personally, you can, but why should everyone have to believe it? So that was their response. Then, of course, turnabout is fair play, so they asked me the question, well, why do you believe in the Immaculate Conception as Catholics? Because, you know, this is important, this is interesting. They asked me, the Bible does say all men have sinned, right? And so why would Mary be exempted from that? After all, Jesus came to take on the sins of the world, and so why would Catholics believe that it would be impossible for God to come down into the womb of a sinful woman and be born in that way for our salvation, right? So notice, that's a very important point for us to consider as Catholics. We do believe that Jesus came to take upon our sins, to cancel them out. There is nothing in principle that says that God could not have become incarnate in the womb of a sinful woman. It's important for us to understand that the doctrine of, or the dogma of the Immaculate Conception is based not on the fact that this is what God absolutely had to do, but that this is what God chose to do. And so it is not an argument from necessity, but it is an argument from fittingness, that it was fitting that Mary should be without sin. I mean, you can think of it this way, of course. We all love our mothers, and we, you know, want to take care of them, to do the best for them, to make them proud, right? And of course, if you were God, of course, none of us are God, but if you were God and you could make the woman who would be your own mother, wouldn't you make her perfect, right? I mean, you'd be kind of a weird child if you didn't want to make your own mother the most perfect mother in the world. And can you imagine, especially again, if you were God, and there was this fallen angel, the devil, who had corrupted everything that you had made, can you imagine letting that devil say, well, I also have a stranglehold over your mother, right? No, no way. You say, that's my mom, and you don't have any part in her whatsoever. So it's fitting, right? It's fitting that Mary, because she was going to be the mother of God, the mother of Jesus Christ, that she would be preserved from sin, because after all, Jesus loved his mother. And you know, somebody brought to me an interesting consideration from medical science that I had not thought of before in this regard as to why it's so fitting that Mary would be not just kind of freed at some point in her life from sin, you know, the Holy Spirit comes upon her and frees her from sin, no, but that from the very moment of her conception, she would be freed from sin. So apparently, medical science has discovered that when a girl baby, a little girl baby, is still in her mother's womb, by the time she is only 4 months, 4 months in delivery, she already has formed in her body all the egg cells that she will ever use in the course of her life as an adult woman. And so what that means is by the time that Mary was 4 months old in St. Anne's womb, she already had within her that egg which would become Jesus Christ, right? He was already kind of there in a sense in that egg. And so it makes very good sense, it's very fitting that Mary, from the moment of her conception, should be kept free from all sin to be that fitting place for Jesus Christ. But in the end, we do kind of have to come back to that original question that the Lutherans asked me, and that is, why is it important for us as Catholics that this is not just something that we kind of believe if we want to, but that we believe that this is a dogma, something that we must believe? Well, of course, in the first answer to that is because as Catholics, we don't believe that Scripture is the only and the ultimate authority. We also believe in sacred tradition and the magisterial teaching of the Church. And so we believe that we can know for certain the right interpretation of these hints in Scripture, like when the angel addresses Mary as full of grace. Well, what does that mean? Well, we believe that tradition and the magisterium of the Church have taught us the right answer there, that she was immaculately conceived. But there is a second answer, I feel, to this question. Why should this be a dogma? Ultimately, because the Blessed Mother is a promise, is an image of what God wants for every one of us, right? Not just for her, but for all of us. St. Paul says today, God chose us in Christ to be holy and without blemish before him. Right, every one of us that makes it to heaven will be just as immaculate as Mary is. And so by demanding that we all recognize this, that we believe, profess belief, that what Jesus did in his mother's person was to keep her free from all sin, this dogma reminds us of what is going to happen to all of us, what is God's will for all of us, that we should be without sin. So let us look to the Blessed Mary, conceived without sin, to be our model, and let us ask her to pray for us in this life so that by imitating her, we might learn how most easily to imitate her son. You know, St. Louis Marie de Montfort used to put it this way: if you want to be made into the image of Jesus, to live out the imitation of Christ most perfectly, then you have to be molded in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the one who shapes us into Jesus Christ. To Jesus through Mary, this is the wisdom of all the saints. O Mary, conceived without sin, O Mary, patroness of our country, pray for us who have recourse to thee.